through your word. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your Bibles and be turning, please, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We are going through a relatively short series for me. You know, it's not going to be 3 years like, you know, 1 Corinthians was, or, you know, Romans would be. We're looking at the one another commands of Scripture, and I entitled this this series, Living the One Another's. Living the One Another's. We talked about, first of all, that we are members of one another. That's really the foundation. You have to understand that when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you became part of a family. You became part of a body. You became part of a nation. You became part of a building. There is just symbol after symbol after symbol that God uses to emphasize that you're no longer alone. You're no longer alone. You are members of a collective. Whether you want to use this symbol of a temple or a body or a building or a nation or a family or whatever, you are now part of a group. Part of a group. And where you meet that group primarily is here. You're part of the universal church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, all over the world, and many of them already in heaven. But you don't have contact with those people. It's impossible. Where you rub elbows with the body of Christ primarily is here, Sunday mornings, at this church. So you are members of one another. Secondly, we saw that the command to love one another is kind of an umbrella command. There's so many aspects to God's agape love that loving one another just kind of is an umbrella for everything else that we're supposed to do. We're to love one another as Jesus loved us. And how much did he love us? Enough that he laid down his life for us. That's the standard. And we saw last week that we are to accept and honor one another. We are to accept one another regardless of differences in nationality, differences in culture, differences in income, differences in gender, differences in preferences. And that's where often the sticking point comes, is because everybody has their own preferences, things that we like. Okay, some of you, you know, may have thought, where in the world did Dave find those ancient songs that we sang this morning? Okay. And others of you are thinking, finally, we get to sing some good old songs again. Okay? We all have preferences. And Romans 14:1 through Romans 15:7, that whole section is written there to tell us, yes, you have differences. Get over it and get along. Get over it and get along. Accept one another in spite of those differences. Honor one another. Accept and honor one another. So if you found Romans chapter 12, I wasn't really stalling until you did that. I was talking, and that was all important, but maybe I gave you time to find that. Follow along with me. We've got this section beginning in verse 9 through verse 13, where Paul is giving another description of what love looks like. Romans 12, 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Practicing hospitality. Now, the particular aspect that we want to look at this morning is in Romans 12:10. Where Paul says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And actually, we're going to pick up two others along the way that kind of go along with this. But that's going to be the main theme passage we're going to be looking at, the main theme thought. And I hate to do this, but I have to talk to you about the Greek that's involved here in Romans 12. Verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. See the word devoted? Okay, skip on down to look at verse 12. You see there at the end of verse 12 it says devoted to prayer? How many of you think probably those two words translated devoted are the same? You would think that, wouldn't you? I mean, just two verses, three verses away, the same word, you think it's translating the same Greek word, but it isn't at all. It isn't at all. The word here that's translated devoted is a compound word, and the root word of this is one of the many words, one of the three primary words for love in the Greek. It's the Greek word phileo. Now, I talked about this before. Phileo love is different from agape love. Agape love is the love of the will, the love of the decision, the love of the choice. Agape love says, I love you regardless. I love you in spite of you. I love you because I choose to, not because you deserve it. That's the love that God has for all the world. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. That's agape love. Phileo love is different. Phileo love is the love of relationship. It's the love of emotion. Phileo love, agape says, I love you in spite of. Phileo love says, I love you because of. Phileo love responds to the loveliness, the desirability, the honor of the object of its love. It's a much more emotional word than agape. Agape can come across as kind of cold. I choose to love you and there's nothing you can do about it, so there. Okay? Phileo says, I respect you. I have affection for you. I love you. I am drawn to you. I am attracted to you. Not in a sexual way, but in a way of personality. I am attracted to you. I phileo love you. That's the root word of this word translated devoted. Then you take that word for phileo love, and you take another word for love, and this is the word for family affection. If you're keeping track, it's the Greek word storge. Okay? It never occurs by itself in the Greek New Testament. It's used in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul is describing the time in the last days. Know this, that in the last days, dangerous times will come. And one of the characteristics of those dangerous times of the last days is that men will be without natural affection. Men are no longer going to have the natural human affection for their family that you would expect them to have. Paul also used this same term with the negative, without it, in Romans chapter 1 when he's describing what unsaved men are like, that they don't have normal, natural affection for their family you'd expect them to have. There's going to be a breakdown in the family, Paul says. How many of you are surprised to see that what's happening? Okay, no. So you take this word for family love, and you scrunch it together with the Greek word phileo, and that's this word devoted. It is a family affection that responds to the attractiveness of the individual. I am devoted to you in both a relationship, an emotional, and a family way. I'm devoted to you. Then he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Well, the word brotherly love in the Greek, if you transliterate it into the English, is the Greek word Philadelphia. Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love. Yeah, where do you think they get that? Well, it has to do with the Greek, of course. Everything comes back to the Greek. You understand that now, right? Okay. You start with that same word for phileo love, and then you add to it the Greek word for brother, adelphos. And so when you add phileo plus adelphos, you get Philadelphia. So in both of these words, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, in both of those words, there is a phileo emphasis of a relationship, an attraction, an emotion. And there is a family word. A family word. Devoted has the word for family affection. Brotherly love has the word for brother. Both of these words, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, both of them require phileo love that responds to the desirability of the object of its love and recognizes a family affection attachment. Does that sound like pretty strong stuff to you? Because it does to me. And it's not a cold, sterile agape love. I love you, and I just choose to. You don't deserve it, you know. It's a love that says, we're family. I have a family affection for you, and I am responding to you out of that family affection because you're my brother in Christ. And I see what God is doing in your life, and that God is changing you and transforming you into the image of Christ. And I delight in that. And I am drawn to you. I am attracted to you by that. How many of you are feeling really good right about now? Okay. This is a desirable, this is a beautiful, this is a lovely, this is a warm, intimate, friendly thing. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now, the thing that you notice this is not is casual. It's not a casual thing. It's not be devoted to one another in brotherly love if you feel like it. It's not be devoted to one another in brotherly love if it's not too much trouble. Paul says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And both times, it carries with it the aspect of phileo love plus a family attachment. Look around, folks. This is your family. This is your family. And Paul says that we are to have an intensely strong family affection for one another. We're to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Both of them use phileo love. Both of them carry with it the concept of a family connection. What I want to do is look at some other passages. A couple of them we've looked at earlier in this study. But I want you to see a couple passages where this aspect of Philadelphia, the brotherly love, occurs. Okay? So go with me, first of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. Paul says, now as to the love of the brethren, that's Philadelphia. Now as to that phileo love for the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to agape love one another. That's the harder one, folks. They're already doing the harder one, the loving people who aren't lovely, loving people who don't deserve it, loving people who you have to make a decision to do it. Paul says, I don't have to tell you about this family affection type stuff. You've got the deeper, harder kind of love down. Family affection love's easy if you can do the agape love. It's easy. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews was written in a context of persecution, and it was written in a context of confusion. In a situation of confusion and persecution, a lot of times people pull into their own shell. They pull into their shell and they're going to protect themselves, looking out for number one. And in this context of confusion and persecution, notice Hebrews 13:1. Let phileo, love of the brethren, let Philadelphia continue. Let brotherly love continue. You know, sometimes when there's confusion going on, you tend to pull away from other people. Sometimes when there's persecution, you tend to dissociate yourself, because after all, if you're hanging around with other Christians, you're going to become a target. And so some of the people, I believe, were pulling back. That's why in chapter 10, Paul talked, or the author of Hebrews, said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I think some people were saying, you know, if you show up at church, there are going to be people watching for you. There are going to be people looking, and you're going to get persecution. So it's better to stay home and avoid that. The writer says, let brotherly love continue. Let love of the brethren continue. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I mentioned this one a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about agape love. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. That's Philadelphia. Peter says, you guys have got the phileo love, the love of a brethren, that affection, that warm, fuzzy stuff. You've got that down. You're loving the people that are easy to love. Now I've got an assignment for you. Love everybody else too. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere phileo love of the brethren, fervently agape love one another from the heart. If you miss the interplay of those two different Greek words in that verse, it doesn't make much sense. Would this be a good time to put in a plug for the Greek class starting in August? Okay. Go to chapter 4. I'm sorry, stop at 3:8. 3:8. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly. Brotherly. Okay, that's related to that phileo love of a brother. All of you have this brotherly affection for one another. Okay, now go to chapter 4. Verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. We're going to come back to this idea of hospitality in about 10 minutes. So I want you to just make a note of that. 1 Peter 4:9. Be hospitable. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5, Peter gives a list of disciplines that you ought to be adding in your life. 2 Peter 1:5. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. Your moral excellence, knowledge. And your knowledge, self-control. And your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. Now verse 7. And in your godliness, add brotherly kindness. That's phileo love. Philadelphia. And in your brotherly kindness, agape love. So he's building up to kind of a crescendo here. The ultimate, the hardest, the most difficult, the most godlike is agape love. But one step below that, and not to be looked down on, is love of the brethren. Phileo love. Phileo love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in a true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I was reading some commentaries about these verses, one commentator made a comment that really jumped out at me. What Paul and Peter here are saying is that you should love the brethren in the faith as though they were brethren in blood. You should love the brethren in the faith as though they were brethren in blood. Now you've heard, maybe some of you have experienced it, where there can be two brothers or two sisters, and they're constantly fighting with each other. The older one's picking on the younger one, and the younger one's nagging and irritating the older one. They're constantly fighting with each other until an outsider comes and starts to pick on one of them. Then they are absolutely united against this enemy because they're brothers. Any old saying about blood being thicker than water? That's the way we ought to be, beloved. We ought to have each other's back, so to speak. We ought to love one another from the heart. We ought to respect each other. That's included in that phileo love. We ought to have affection for one another. We ought to have warm feelings for each other. We ought to be looking for the good in each other. Now, does everybody here probably have some habit that irritates you a little bit? If not, you just don't know them well enough yet. Okay? Overlook it because of the good that you see in them. Overlook the little things Look for the good. Look for that which you can praise. Look for that which you can commend them for. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. There's a second command, and it's not in that passage we looked at in Romans chapter 12, but it is in chapter 16. And that's the command to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now you have to understand Middle Eastern customs. It was customary for men and women to greet each other, men greeting men primarily, women greeting women primarily, with a kiss. Now, some of you may remember when Keith Hawk was here, he demonstrated how they do that in Uruguay. And it's not really a kiss as we think of a kiss. Lips don't touch. It's more of a cheek bump. And as you kind of bump cheeks, you make kind of a noise with your lips, and lips never don't ever touch. And that's what they do in France. When we go to France to visit our daughter and son-in-law, and we go to the church there, that's the way people greet us. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now what's interesting about this word kiss, guess what it's based on? Guess what the Greek word translated kiss is based on? The Greek word translated kiss is philema. The ma ending at the end of the word is that which describes the result of an action. So what is the result of phileo love? That kind of affection that responds to the desirability and attractiveness of the other person? A kiss. The concept of kiss would never be built on agape love. But phileo love is the kind of love, affection, emotion that would prompt somebody to greet someone warmly. Okay, here in our culture, we don't do that kind of cheek bump kiss thing. We hug, we shake hands, we greet each other warmly. I don't think Paul here is demanding that it be that. I think he's saying whatever in your culture constitutes a warm, affectionate greeting, do that. Whatever in your culture would communicate brotherly affection to one another, do that. Phileo love. Again. Again, it's a family thing. It's a family thing. The thing that is tying each of these phrases together, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, greet one another with a holy kiss, and the next one we're going to get to in just a minute, the thing that ties each of these three phrases together is this Greek word phileo. It's all based on that kind of emotion, affection, relationship that we have. And it occurred to me, how can you have that kind of thing in a church of 2,000 people? That's a rhetorical question. I don't want answers for that, but it just popped into my mind. How could you do that? Okay. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now here's the third one. Back in Romans chapter 12, the last verse we said, be hospitable to one another. Be hospitable to one another. We read that in 1 Peter, in Hebrews 13, verse 2. I told you to remember that we'd come back to it in about 10 minutes. Man, I'm 10 minutes practically on the nose. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 4. Show hospitality to one another. Be hospitable to one another. Okay. The word translated hospitality, guess what word it's built on? Be hospitable to one another. It's built on the Greek word phileo, and then you tack on the word for stranger to it. Hospitality is showing phileo love, affection, respect, concern for strangers. Showing phileo love for strangers. Showing hospitality. Having people in your home for dinner. Taking people out and spending time with them. Letting them get to know the real you. How many of you think you get to know the real person sitting next to you, sitting in church with them? Yeah, probably not. Probably not. I think too many times people put on their Sunday go to meeting face. And you ask them, how you doing? Oh, fine. And yet if you really press them, no, I mean, how are you really doing? Life stinks. And why did you say, oh, fine? Because that's what you're supposed to do. Phileo love asks, how are you doing? And really wants to know. So we have all three of these concepts. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Two words, both based on phileo in that phrase. Greet one another with a holy kiss, built on phileo love, and the result of that is a holy kiss, an affectionate expression of respect and love. And then show hospitality to one another. Show phileo love to strangers. All three of these concepts are built on this aspect of phileo love. All three are expressions of phileo love for one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Be hospitable to one another. Love the brethren in the faith as though they were brethren in blood. So I thought to myself, self, where do we see this happening in church? Where do we see this happening in the Bible? Well, go with me to the book of Acts, if you will. I will confess that these words are not used here, but I think the concepts are illustrated for us. Go to Acts chapter 4, I want you to look at Acts chapter 4 starting in verse 32 and see if you don't think this depicts, that this models for us what be devoted to one another in brotherly love, greet one another with a holy kiss, show hospitality to one another looks like, if this isn't kind of putting flesh to those commands. Ephesians 4:32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property. What's yours is mine. What's mine is yours. If you need anything that I've got, just ask. It's yours. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Skip on down, verse 34. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any have need. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Show hospitality to one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Then we're introduced to this guy named Joseph. You don't know who Joseph is. Well, you do. You just don't know him by the name Joseph, because he's never called that again in the whole Bible. Even though he's mentioned, he's never called Joseph again. Let me show you why. Verse 36. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Did you know Barnabas wasn't Barnabas' real name? It was a nickname given to him by the apostles, because that was his character. Barnabas means son of encouragement. His mom named him Joseph, or his dad. He's never called Joseph again. This is the only time in the whole Bible. But he's mentioned as Barnabas many times. He goes with Saul of Tarsus on the first missionary journey, Acts chapter 13 and 14. He's mentioned many times in the rest of the New Testament, the book of Acts, 1 Corinthians 9, other places. But he's never called Joseph, he's called Barnabas. Why? Because that was his character. Son of encouragement. If somebody needed something, he had the will to meet it. He sold what he had and gave the money to somebody to meet their need. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Show hospitality to one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Go back with me to Acts chapter 2. Let me wrap up drawing some applications. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 with me. Acts 2:42. This is on the day of Pentecost, and just right after the day of Pentecost, the response of the 3,000 souls, verse 41. What did they do after that? 3,000 souls responded to the gospel that Peter preached. They just all go home and continue life as it was before? Was it still, you know, business as usual? Look what happened. Verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves. Ooh, isn't that an interesting word? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. It's not the same word. It's the other word for devoted that we saw. Okay. But they were continually devoting themselves to four things. The apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread. I think that's the Lord's table. And to prayer. They were devoting themselves to those four things. You know what is implied and demanded by that? That's not stated. In order to devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of the bread and the prayer, you've got to devote yourself to the local church. How are you going to devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer if you're not here? Doesn't devoting yourself to those four things sort of require devoting yourself to this body? To these meetings? So my application is, church ought to be a priority. Now I realize this is the last Sunday of May and we're going into summer vacation and people are leaving, going on vacation. And I understand that, and that's fine. Jesus often said to the disciples, in fact, if you read Our Daily Bread this morning, come apart for a while. Okay, how many of you read that? No? Okay. Okay. Come apart for a while. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take a vacation. What I am concerned about is that, you guys are here, I'm preaching to the choir, I understand that. But it concerns me that sometimes some people seem to let such trivial things be an excuse to stay home from church. If we were devoted to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of the bread and prayer, of necessity we have to be devoted to being here, because that's where those things happen. So my first application is that church, not this building, but this people, this assembly, this activity, should be a priority. Second thing I see, verse 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. One another ought to be a priority. If we see a brother or sister who has need and we have the wherewithal to meet that need and we don't, 1 John says, how does the love of God dwell in you? Church ought to be a priority, and so one another ought to be a priority. But notice, it wasn't just the Sunday meetings. Verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Praise all the people. We ought to seek to get together with one another throughout the week. Some of you are thinking, you're asking us to add something else to our already crazy, busy schedule? Come on, Dave, give me a break. I understand that everybody's busy. I'm busy. I understand that. But as we have opportunity, that should be a priority. not just that we seek to get together on Sunday mornings, but that we seek out one another's fellowship and company as we have opportunity through the week. Do you ever see anybody else from this group between Sunday morning 9 o'clock and Sunday morning 12:30? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Show hospitality to one another. That hospitality is a whole lot easier shown in your own home during the week than it is here. Because we have phileo love for one another, because we respect and have affection for one another, we are drawn to one another. We like each other. Doesn't mean we agree on everything. But we're focused on the things that are positive and desirable and that we have in common, and we like each other. And we show it. Love the brethren in the faith as though they were brethren in blood. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the example that we have of the early church and the connection, the connectedness they had with one another. Father, so many times in our crazy, busy world that we live in, we are so disconnected from each other. We wouldn't be able to meet one another's needs because we don't have any idea what each other's needs are, because we don't spend time with each other. We don't pray for each other. We don't talk to each other. God, draw us together closer. We're a small church. We have limited resources. We have limited capabilities. Don't let us use that as an excuse for not doing what we can. May we truly be devoted to one another in brotherly love because we're devoted to you and these are your people. We love them because they're your people. And we're going to spend eternity with them. Thank you, Father, that we can have a glimpse of that wonderful joy of eternity together with one another and with you. We can have a glimpse of what that's going to be like as we show our affection for one another right here. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May God's grace be with you.